that's a new improvisation from Comancholo, one of the first pieces the East Meets West duo recorded after years of pandemic-forced hiatus. The group formed some 8 years ago and sees Raphael Weinrath-Brown on cello and Shahriyar Jamshidi playing the Comanche. Over the years, they've taken their evocative improvisations to venues right across the country, and this evening they perform their first concert since the pandemic and their first show in Ottawa in 3 years. Now, the venue for this reunion is at Redbird Live. Before they head over there, though, we have Comancholo, Shahriyar Jamshidi, and Raphael Weinrath-Brown in studio this afternoon. Nice to have you both here. Nice to see you in person.
Thank you for having us.
Raphael, I'll ask you first. I want to start our conversation with this unnamed piece of music we just played. Mm-hmm. Stirring has a real sense of urgency. I think the name will have to reflect something of that when you when you choose. But after being apart for more than 2 years, did you find that the way you approached improvisation had changed a great deal, or what happened in that space? You know, that void, and then you guys meet up again, and what happened?
I would say that it was mostly a question of rediscovering the sound that we have together and just reacquainting ourselves with that type of playing and that musical world. And that was really just a question of breaking the ice and playing together for a while and getting comfortable with that. There's often with improvisation, you can be a little bit self-conscious at the beginning, and then the more you play, the more you focus on what the music needs, and you take more risks, and you kind of just listen for what needs to happen and listen to the other musician and try to complement what they're doing, and you really become more part of the music. So I feel that the more we play, the more we're in that world, and if we do a long recording session, that the later we are in the session, the better we are as improvisers.
Stuff, yeah. And that makes sense, Shahriyar. That makes sense to me, too, that, I think what we're talking about from, what Raphael's point of view there is that there's some confidence in one's own playing, but then you have to have confidence in your ability to predict what you're going to do next. I mean, if that's what the improvisation of a duo is going to do, and you miss that because you're not playing together for a couple of years, did you find that you were searching for your way to understand where he was going to go or where your part was going to fit in? Was that happening?
It's a good question. Actually, it took time. We play. We were starting, and find themselves. It's like meeting friends. After a while, you stop and thinking about your, and we use our memory, and we started, and I think for 2-3 hours just we played together, and actually we didn't on the same place and try to just find the ways, and each person try open a door, many doors. I opened, and Raphael as well, and we just choose, okay, can we enter this in this room or other rooms? And it took times, but my idea is we brought many different experiences after sure. 3 years being quiet and just open the box and
perhaps emotional pain or some kinds of strains. Everyone has a story about how the pandemic changed the way they see the world. I suppose that shows up in the new music you're making too, would you say?
Yeah.
I think these things always come in their own way, and I think that the separation and then the desire to play together again and the choice to keep this going and continue what we started, I think that that's a powerful thing in itself, and it's a very affirming thing to be back doing this and to be kind of picking up right where we left off, actually.
Mm, yeah. Shahriyar, I think it's fair that some people will not know what the Comanche is all about. It's not a mainstream instrument at the moment. I don't hope you don't mind me saying that. Remind me what this instrument is, and would you say you play it traditionally, or do you bring a new approach to what is a traditional instrument?
Oh, Comanche, it means a small arkbow in Kurdish and Persian music.
Yeah.
And it's a main musical instrument in that areas, in Central Asia, Iran, part of the Turkey, north of Turkey, in Kurdistan, and in Armenia, and we have the same instrument, same, different style in China, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. And actually, I started with playing traditional music, Persian classical music. I studied the classical music, and later I found myself I should try to I find myself going to my culture. We have amazing music culture in Kurdish music, and I just try to listen to the music and change my instrument stuff, because you need change your mind and your skills and techniques. And I'm trying, actually. I don't know how I may stay here, but I'm trying to, make a new voice with improvisation. Mm. I'm trying to make a voice from, solo singers from Kurdish mountains. Mm. And in my mind, in my heart, just trying and duplicate it on my instrument. And, I need people to listen to my music. And
did that work to kind of solidify your signature sound, or to make something unique from this instrument? Was that sped up during the hiatus you guys were in? Because you were kind of insulated. You weren't able to tour or to see other people using. Did you find that you became a more distinctive voice in the 2 years?
Isolation is part of all culture. You should be isolated and hidden from the public, and then go out and bring your stuff. Okay, here I am. I am here. And actually helped me, but in some way it's scary. You haven't been on a stage, and it's like a new performer. Mm.
I want to ask too. I mean, it's not just the way music is produced in isolation, because there's great turmoil happening in Iran right now. I don't know how closely you might be following that, but is that influencing how you're feeling as an artist?
Oh, that's from the beginning of the protests, and actually it's not a protest, it's a revolution.
Sure.
Huge revolution.
It feels
women
that way. Yeah.
Revolution, and it started from Kurdistan, with a great slogan, Jinjian Azadi, women, life, freedom. Hmm. And I completed, every day just following the news. But as a musician, just I'm trying to say my words on my music, and any place like CBC today, I'm here and I add my words, and I'm helping my people with my music. And it's good, just make attention around the world. Unfortunately, in Canada, we have a great community, and the government people just helping, supporting Iranian people, Kurdish people, and that's it.
Yeah. Rafael, you guys are going to play tonight. It's going to be live, and I gather I'm using scare quotes here. People can't see, but it's improvised.
Yep.
But surely you have some basic idea of where you're going to go over a 60 or 90 minute performance. How do you decide what it's going to look like in front of those people?
We don't really make a decision until the moment arrives, actually.
Amazing.
Depends on the length of the set.
Yeah.
The more time we have, then the more we could stretch out. But we're not playing for too long tonight. We're playing about 45 minutes together, which I think is a good length for us to get into a variety of ideas while also staying very focused in it. And I think that the duration of the performance really determines how we approach it. And I think the main thing we always try to do is to have enough variation and contrast within the set. So there's a bunch of different moods, and people can really identify different points in the entire arc of the performance. Mm-hmm. Whether it's more uplifting or more dark or very intense and fiery or extremely spacious. And we try to offer all those things in any concert so that people have a sense of that journey. But I think that actually we try to embrace the moment as much as possible. The more we try to cling to an idea, I think the less we're listening and kind of really embracing that instant. So it's much better, I think, and much more liberating. And I think we really access a more honest part of our playing when we just surrender to that moment completely.
Hmm. Does that mean that you allow yourself to kind of jam out? I mean, there's a sense in which your music is a bit psychedelic. I know it's not a Western tradition and you don't put on Jimi Hendrix to inspire yourself, but I'm thinking you could really kind of stretch out an idea and return to repetitive loops. Do you allow that to happen or not?
Definitely. Yeah. There's cycles that we will kind of explore. It's almost like a kind of a riff that you just, you keep jamming it out for a while and it starts to have this kind of hypnotic effect in a way. And it takes on very small variations and then gradually it turns into something else, but so imperceptibly because it's happening over a longer period of time. And, I think that in a lot of musical rituals, like it's been proven that like it takes maybe about 10 minutes before the music starts to have almost like a mind-altering effect. Mm. And so a lot of our improvisations are quite long. And I think sometimes it takes that delving deep into the music to really go to those places. So it's good to sometimes allow that. And I think the concert setting is great for that because, you know, ideally you have a captive audience that's just there for it. So
it's amazing. I mean, knowing what a wonderful, organ the brain is, I imagine that's like everything else. There's a muscle there that if you practice it, you can go to that space more quickly. And you two have not been able to go to that space as a duo as much in the last couple of years. I guess we're all going to look forward to some time on the road, or more shows, and you'll be there and you'll be able to go into that trance-like space a bit more readily. Is that likely to happen, do you think?
I think so. I think inevitably. But I think also with every show that you play, the more you play, then the less caught up you are in trying to perfect the one moment that you have in that particular performance, and the more you just see it as another show and, you know, another day, right? And every day has a bit of a different character to it and a bit of a different mood. And sometimes it's good to just embrace that and not try to make it the performance, but it's just part of an overall kind of continuum of all the shows that you do.
Remind me how you two met. I mean, that's kind of improbable. The two of you with two different backgrounds, you're not really close in age, you're playing different instruments. How did this happen? How did you guys come together?
Living in Toronto is a good way. I think there's people from everywhere, right? And so we were both there, and I was studying music at the Glenn Gould School, and we were both playing in sort of improvising music communities in these sort of improv nights. It's very sort of spontaneous with a lot of musicians from different backgrounds. And we had a mutual friend that basically connected us that mentioned that he had played a show with a Camanche player. And so then, you know, I was super interested because I was already a fan and an avid listener of Persian music. And I listened to Kehan Kalhor and, you know, people who play the Camanche. And so I reached out and said, hey, can we get together and try playing music for a couple of hours? And, you know, he agreed. And so we played for a couple of hours without really talking at all. And it was great. And then we booked our first show.
Sharir, did you ever wonder whether that third person, the matchmaker, as it were, that the person who introduced you to should become a third? Maybe you could form a trio. Is that a possibility to add a third instrument to this duo?
Yeah, actually, one time we did, yeah, with a percussionist, Sean. We played with him.
Yeah, and he's actually playing
Montreal,
tonight,
yeah,
on the show.
And
yeah,
tonight, probably we play with him again.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I want to let you guys go because you have some work to do before you can take to the stage, but we're going to leave this interview and a nice conversation. It's been enjoyed reconnecting with you guys. Radiance, this is music from the first album, Camoncello. Can you tell me about this song, Raphael? What's happening here?
I would say it's one of the most uplifting pieces we've recorded and also one of the catchiest. It starts off kind of very peacefully, very meditative, and we're sort of doing a call and response, playing melodies back and forth, but without any real rhythm for the first half of the piece. And then it goes into a sort of a fast, dance-like rhythm, and Shahryar has the melody for most of it, and we're kind of passing back and forth, and it's almost a little bit like Celtic music in a way. It has this almost like this kind of jig feel. Mm. So it's, I think, definitely one of the pieces that from our albums that has maybe resonated the most, and so it's one that kind of seems to come back again and again.
Amazing. All right. Well, have a great show tonight. It's, again, nice to talk to you. Nice to see you in the studio. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Camoncello, made up of Shahryar Jamshidi on Kurdish Camancha and Raphael Wunrath Brown on cello.